Have you ever heard or had someone say to you, God will not give you more than you can handle? In the next 3 weeks, we're going to look at three different widely heard and widely believed ideas about Scripture. Have you ever heard that someone say, I know the Bible says we're not supposed to judge? You ever heard that? Or have you ever heard, well, I know God wants me to be happy. You know, and that's the first part of a sentence that ends with something else. Therefore. Now, that all depends on how you define happy. But we'll get to that. That's week three. And next week, we'll talk about does God want us to judge? But today, we're going to talk about this statement. God will not give us more than we can handle. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. That's where this is found in Scripture. That's where this comes from, this idea. 1 Corinthians 10, 13. And verse 13 says, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful and He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with temptation, He will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. And so in this verse 13, we have a word that's translated temptation. It's the Greek word perasmos. It's translated temptation in this verse all three times. That's the same Greek word all three times. In every major English translation in your Bible, I'd be surprised if you're reading out of a version that doesn't say temptation. Because although there are some that are more paraphrased or more loose translations that may dramatize this a little bit, but the ESV, New American Standard, Holman, NIV 84, NIV 11, King James, New King James, New Century all translate this temptation. So we start by understanding that what God said He won't give you or allow you to be more than you can bear is temptation. And the meaning is there will never be an occasion where I'm tempted to sin that it was too much for me. Make sense? Okay. But let's go a little broader here. Let's make sure we know what we're talking about. So let's look at some context. A little scripture before, a little scripture after. Look up at verse 6, 1 Corinthians 10, 6. Paul says, these things took place as examples for us that we might not desire evil as they did. Desire evil. Temptation, right? And so what is Paul talking about? He's talking about an occasion in the Old Testament where in one day God struck down 23,000. 23,000 died in one day because of idolatry and sexual immorality. That's the context. Paul is saying, we don't want to be like that. We don't want to live in sin. We don't want to run to sin. Scripture talks a lot about sin. Scripture talks a lot about sexual immorality. Is one sin that we find a lot in Scripture. Maybe because it is a great temptation. It always has been. Okay? Idolatry was a great temptation. Scripture tells us idolatry, which is greed. Our version today of idolatry is greed. Is that a great temptation for us? We live in a world with a lot of sin, a lot of temptations. And Scripture is saying, run from those. It will never be more than you can bear. We live in a society that says, let's just talk about sexual temptation for a minute. We live in a society that says, if you want to, do. If you're not married, it doesn't matter. If someone is of the same gender, it doesn't matter. If you want to change your gender, it doesn't matter. You do what you want to do. This is the world our children are growing up in. And yet we still have a God that says, I have a better way. I have a way that is holy and it is right. But it is not, in the human state, it is not without temptation. We're still tempted, aren't we? But Scripture is saying, don't give in to that. Let's look down at verse 12. This is the verse right before the one that we started with, that God won't give us more than we can bear. 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, "Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall." So here's this scripture we've heard before. Hey, don't get too cocky. Regarding the devil, don't think you're that strong. Regarding sin, don't get too complacent. When you think you're doing good, walking with God, that's when you may be about to fall. Be careful. But it's regarding sin. And then the verse after, verse 14, says, "Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry." The message is, when you're tempted, you know what you should do when you're tempted? Turn around and run. Turn around and run. Don't stand there and look at it. Don't stand there and want it. Don't stand there and analyze it. Consider it. Contemplate it. Don't stand there and justify it. Don't stand there and reason it. Turn around and run. Turn around and run. Because the end result of me running to sin or getting tangled up in sin is hell. And we want to run from that. Paul is saying when that happens, when we do stumble, because we're not perfect, there will be times that we do, in our human condition, we do wrong. We do sin. And when that happens, we can say the devil tempted us, but we can never say he made us do it. True. We can never say it was too much. We can never say, you know, I didn't want to, but it was more temptation than I could bear. That's the message here, okay? So Paul is talking about temptation. He's not talking about suffering. Make sense? He's not talking about suffering. We're not talking about burdens. When someone finds out that their child has an inoperable disease, untreatable, is there a way out there? Is there a choice there? That's not temptation, that's suffering. We need to be praying for Tim and Trisha Ray right now. We need to be praying for them. When Tim finds out that he has lymphoma, and a few weeks, months ago, it was a good kind, if you want to call it good, and it was treatable, and prognosis was good, and it mutated, and now it's not treatable. There's no surgery for it, no treatment for it, there are no trials for it. It is very, very, very rare. And when you receive that news, where's your way out? But Scripture's not talking about suffering, that there's a way out. When you receive that news, and I want to make a couple things clear. Number one thing I want to make clear is you need to pray for them, because our God can move mountains. And He's moved them many, many times. And I love that when, you know, I received a text from Trisha when they first found out. She kind of explained that, and she said, "But our faith is strong." I love that. Man, when I see that, that inspires me. We feed off of that, each other. Okay. Now, with that said, God can move mountains. But if you're in their shoes, you think you can bear that alone? They cannot bear that alone. There's no way they can bear that alone. And Scripture never said that they could or should, or any of us, at times when we feel like this is too much, times that we feel in those type situations, and yours, your life and your story is different, but when that happens, we don't feel strong. We aren't strong. We cannot bear it alone. And instead of me telling them, "Hey, God won't give you more than you can handle," which is, I can't even quote that anyway. What I can tell them is you should do what Jesus did. Turn to Matthew 26:38. You should do what Jesus did. When Jesus was in the garden the night before the crucifixion, He knew He was about to die on the cross. In the garden, He's begging God, "God, let this pass." In other words, you want to translate that? "God, this is too much." He's begging God. In verse 38, he says this to his apostles. He says, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." So he prays three times. God's answer is, "There's no other plan." I mean, that's not God's words, but that's the message. There's no other plan. And Luke records there appeared an angel from heaven. Luke records God didn't say, "Jesus, we're gonna ditch the plan for the cross." He didn't do that, but he did send an angel. And he strengthened him. Yeah. Now, do angels strengthen us? I'm way too old to try to answer that in this sermon today. That's a long answer, right? Do angels strengthen us? Well, I don't know what all God does with his angels. I know they're here. Spirits are all around us. We know that. We know they're messengers of God. We know they have strengthened people in the past. I'll tell you this, if an angel strengthens someone, don't worry about the angel. God strengthened them. Does the Holy Spirit strengthen us? Absolutely. But if that confuses you, God is the Holy Spirit. When God does it, however he does it, he does it. That's not for me to worry about or figure out.
That's right.
God does it. Amen. He strengthens us continually.
Amen.
And he strengthened Jesus. Now, why didn't God say to Jesus, "Son, buck up. Buck up. You know I won't give you any more than you can handle." Why didn't God say that? Why did he send an angel? He sent an angel because it was more than Jesus could handle. So he strengthened him. And God does that for you and I.
That's right.
There will be times when we're not strong enough. Recently, Abby has eczema. And it's at times really bad on the bottom of her feet. And it's really painful. And so we have all the ointments and all the... We've gone to all the doctors and we have things that help, but it doesn't eliminate it or make it not an issue. And so sometimes it really hurts and she hobbles around and whines and whimpers. And the other night it was at its worst and she was crying. And so it was bedtime and she asked me if I would come and lay in bed with her a little bit because her foot was hurting and she was crying. So I did. And so... normally, she would, you know, when I console her like that, and you would do with your child, she would stop crying, and right, and we took Tylenol, and so I expected that, but she kept crying, and it kept hurting, and I kept holding her, and then she wanted mom, and I thought, you know, that's no surprise, because dad's good, but mom is mom, and so I went and got mom, and I thought I was about to tag team and tag out. But I found out she wanted mom and dad. This was a mom and dad problem. There are times when we get to where life is too much. It is more than we can handle. And we need support. Look at this passage, a great passage in Corinthians. Paul writes, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Very beginning of this second letter to the Corinthians. And he talks about a situation. We really don't know what happened. We don't know the details, but we know what we need to know. And he says, verse 8, Paul says, "We do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened." And look at these words. "Beyond our strength, that we despaired of life itself." Have you ever been to a place where it was too much? It was too much, and you thought, you know, to die might be better than this. To die. Now, there's a difference between looking at death and saying, "I think that would be better than the suffering I'm going through." And there's a difference between that and wanting to die. And there's a difference between that and thinking about how I might end my life. And I want to just say real quickly, if you're ever here, or if you ever think someone is here where they're thinking about ending their life, first thing you need to know is ask them. Just ask them. Talk to them. Don't ever be afraid to say, "Are you thinking about hurting yourself?" Because if someone is, you're not going to bother them by asking them. They're already thinking about it. And if they're not, you need to know and they need to know. You're not going to give them an idea that they hadn't thought of. It's one thing to be suffering so bad I just wish I was out of this. And it's another thing to be suicidal. But it's all important. It's important to know, and I'm just making a plug that's just on a side note. If you think someone is just talking about suicide to get attention, they may be. They may be trying to get attention to say, I need help. This is more than I can bear. Okay? Just file that back. My point is, when you suffer greatly, you will find yourself at a place where death starts to look pretty good. And that's what Paul says. That's where he was here. It was too much. It was beyond his ability. Look what he says. Verse 9. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us... Here's the reason. It was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God. Amen. The statement, God won't give you more than you can handle, sounds right. It sounds from the Bible, doesn't it? But in an innocent way, it's arrogant. It's arrogant. We don't mean to be arrogant, but it's arrogant to think that I got this. And it's arrogant to tell someone else, you got this. You're strong enough. The truth is, we're not strong enough. And Paul said they received that burden, so they would rely on God. Verse 10, he delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. And as a result, what happens? He makes this statement. He says, on him we've set our hope. If you've been delivered by God, God has rescued you from a great trial, your faith should be great. Your faith should be strong. And we have people here who've been rescued from cancer multiple times. We have people here rescued from brain surgery. We have people here rescued from a myriad of things. Yeah. And our faith is strong because we've seen God do it. In the Old Testament, there were a number of times that people cried out to God. There's a time that Moses cries out to God, Exodus 3. You know, God's wanting him to go to Pharaoh. And Moses is saying Exodus 3:11, Moses says, who am I that I should go? And God doesn't say to Moses, Moses, you can do this. I'm not going to give you more than you can handle. You can do this. Buck up, son. Look at what God says. I will be with you. I will be with you. In Judges chapter 6, Gideon, same thing. God is coming to Gideon, saying that he wants Gideon to be a judge, to rescue Israel, to save Israel. Gideon says, how can I do that? My clan is the weakest. I'm the least in my family. Gideon says, I'm not enough. This is too much for me, is what Gideon's saying. God says, I'll be with you. Jeremiah, same thing. God calls Jeremiah to be a prophet. The very first of the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1, God's calling Jeremiah. Jeremiah says, I don't know how to speak. I'm only a youth. Jeremiah says, this job's too big for me. It's too much. And God says, I'll be with you. I am with you. I want to read on in 2 Corinthians 1 where Paul was talking about his burden and it was too much, but he relied on God and God rescued them. In verse 11, he continues that thought and he says, you also, not just God, but you also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. If more people praying about something doesn't help, then Paul was an idiot. Because Paul, that's all he seems to ask for is churches to pray for him. Pray for us. Pray for us. We're praying for you. Pray for us. And keep praying. I have to know that the inspired Apostle Paul knew what he was talking about. And he's saying when life gets too much, you need God and you need your church. You need your church family. You need the prayers of your church family. You need the strength of your church family. Here's a scripture that it may hit you like it does me. Here's what I mean. This statement, God won't give us more than we can bear, it kind of makes sense to me. I mean, for the longest time, I thought that was biblical. And then here's another verse. Let me show you this one. In Galatians 6:2 at the bottom. Bear one another's burdens. Now, are those two not opposite? If God won't give you more than you can bear, why do I need to go bear your burden? That sounds like you're being lazy. I mean, if you can do for yourself, what do you need me to do it for? Those two ideas don't mix.
That's right.
But in reality, we were mistaken about the first idea. Let me back up. Bear one another's burdens. It's there the whole time. When people cry, we don't like to cry. I don't really know anyone that does like to cry. Crying is something that the body does. God made us to cry, but have you ever thought about why? Why does the body shed tears? I don't mean why do you feel crying. I mean the shedding of tears. Why? Other things the body does, we understand why. Well, the mouth salivates. There's a purpose for that. The nose runs. There's a purpose for mucus. The body sweats. There's a purpose to cool itself down more quickly. If you get dirt in your eye, it will water. There's a purpose for that. Why does the body cry tears? Why do we shed tears? And pause that for a minute. When we cry, if you fill a cup with water, did you know you can put more water in that cup than the space in that cup? When you add water to a cup and you get to the top and you keep adding slowly and slowly, drop after drop after drop, that water will mound over the top of the cup. Water will stick together. Think of a drop of water. It sticks together. It has properties in which it clings to itself. It will mound over the top of that cup. And you can keep adding drops and drops and drops. And it's hanging on there. It's shivering and hanging. And it makes me think of what we do when we don't want to cry. I'm about to cry, but I don't want to. I'm holding it in. And eventually, one drop will break that water's ability to hold together. And it will spill over. And it won't spill over one drop. You just added one drop, but it won't just displace one drop. It will come loose. It will break loose. Isn't that what happens when we cry? You hold it in, you hold it in, you hold it in. When you cry, or when I cry, that's the point at which I can no longer hold it in. I'm out of control, if you want to call it that way. Make sense? And it doesn't feel good necessarily. It feels like I'm no longer in control, and there's truth in that. I think God created us to cry because when life is too much and we are unable or unwilling to say to someone else, I need help, the tears say it for us. The tears say it for us, and vice versa. When someone else needs help and you see tears, you don't need them to say a word. You don't need them to explain what's going on. You don't need to know anything except this person needs help. It's not a shame thing. It's a human thing. When my children were babies, they would cry a lot. All of them. And as a man, that was hard on me. There's something in me that is not feeling good when the kids cry. And my babies would cry. But I learned pretty quickly that it's okay. Crying's good for them. Right? Develops their lungs. They're self-soothing when they're in that crib and I'm in the other room. Right? So I'm coaching myself. But I remember when my babies would cry, it's a big difference if they had tears or not. If they didn't have tears, they might just be cranky and fussy and okay, that's fine. But if I saw real tears, that's a different kind of cry. Isn't it? If I saw tears, that's different. And I'm just saying that God knows we need help. And there will be times when life is too much for us. And the truth regarding this myth, God will absolutely give us more than we can handle. If not, why would we need Him? Why would we need Him? Why would we need God? Why would God say, pray for my help? Why would He say, and I have a great scripture here to end with, 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your anxieties on Him. And the Greek word for cast is the word they would use to put a load on a donkey. to put a burden on the donkey. That's what that word comes from. You take your burden off of you and you cast it onto God. And God says, give it all to me. I'll take all of it. All of it. Because it's more than we can bear. And we need to remember these two verses. When that thought pops in our head, God won't give you more than you can handle. Hey, that's temptation. But regarding suffering, cast it on God and bear each other's burdens. We need each other. Next week, we're going to talk about whether or not we are supposed to judge. And the following week, does God want me to be happy? But today, just remember, as a church, don't we need each other? Amen. Don't you need these people here?
Amen.
And we need God. We're going to sing a song of encouragement. There may be someone here this morning. We always, you know, a person can be baptized and saved anytime, but we're not going to miss an opportunity to ask. You won't stand before God and say, nobody asked me, right? If you need to become a Christian this morning, let us help you. If you have a need for prayer and strength, if life has become too much, let us help you with that too while we stand and sing.
There's a fountain free just for you and me that takes all days to be free. It's the fount of love from the source of love, and He gives us all freely drink. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come to for you and me? Thirsty soul, hear the welcome call. 'Tis a fountain.